Welcome to episode 64 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And this week, we spoke to Manpreet Thor, a dancer, choreographer, and entrepreneur based in California. You must already know Manpreet from her early days when she danced with her friend Naina, but now she dances solo.
Now Manpreet has been collaborating with big names in the industry. She recently worked with Punjabi by Nature, and Manpreet also gave us some exclusive news, which she hasn't spoken about just yet. Manpreet also gives us her personal insight into the Bollywood industry, how she feels the revolution of dance has changed. So, without further ado, let's jump right into the show. Welcome to the show, Manpreet. As someone who's been your fan for the past 3 or 4 years now, it's really a big honor to have you on the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to join you guys.
And Manpreet, I had mentioned in a previous episode that one of my favorite things to do on the show, apart from getting to know all of our wonderful guests, is gushing about the similarities that I sometimes share with them. So when I found out that your mother put you in a dance team at the age of 9, and that's what sparked your passion for dance, I was so happy because my mother signed me up for Kuchipudi dance training at the age of 9 too. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. What dance did you learn first?
It was kind of like, you know, a bunch of kids got together. There was a parents. It wasn't anything like professional. I'm actually not a trained dancer. I've never learned any specific dance, but it was just like, it was just kind of fun stuff. So it was like a mixture of like Bollywood and Bhangra, and it was a mess, but it was really fun.
but you still know quite a lot about, you know, Bhangra and Bollywood and everything, because you're going to think I live under a rock, but when I saw your video explaining the dip a while ago, I didn't really know what the Gidda was as a dance form. And I'm one of those people who actually grew up in India and lived in Delhi for 4 years when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that a lot of people out there would also not know much about these dance forms. So could you explain to our listeners the difference between Bhangra and Gidda, and tell us a little more about the dance forms that you focus on primarily?
Yeah, so Bhangra as well as Gidda originated in Punjab. Bhangra was more so a male dance. It's very, very masculine. You know, when and it wasn't very like a stage performance kind of dance. It was when their crops, like when the farmers, their crops would do good, they would celebrate, and then they would do this form of dance called Bhangra. So on the other end, the ladies would do Gidda. But over the years, they have intertwined, and, you know, girls are doing Bhangra, men are doing Gidda. So it's just that the difference is Bhangra is more masculine. It was originated and done only by men. And Gidda was originated only done by women. But now they have Malve Gidda, which is, you know, men do that. But I mean, Bhangra is still called Bhangra everywhere. But nowadays, I feel like, you know, there's so many co-ed teams, there's so many girls doing it, that it's not thought of as like a masculine, you know, only male originated dance. So
Manpreet, I just like to mention as well that Ankita had to practice how to pronounce Gidda before she spoke to you.
Even Bhangra.
She's like, Meenal, how do you say it?
Yeah, Gidda isn't it isn't as popular as Bhangra. I know that over here we have, you know, I want to say we have a lot of shows based around Gidda, like Tiyan. I don't know if you have heard of Tiyan da Mela. So it's like, this is all coming from, you know, like traditions back in the day, like in Punjab. I think it was like when you get married and, you know, after marriage, like all the girls get together and they celebrate, and they used to call it Tiyan. So it's only a female function. So obviously they would do Gidda, but, we have shows like that here. And I feel like that's what has helped, you know, just Punjabis in general, learn more about Punjabis in America, learn more about Gidda. But it's really fun. And I just started getting into it when I was probably in my 20s, and I loved it, and I competed, and it was so fun. It's a different kind of dance. And I feel like Gidda kind of is more so, you can kind of compare it to like Bollywood, like fusion Bollywood, because you can do anything and it just goes. But Bhangra is like, you have your ways, you have your moves, and it's a little bit different.
And Manpreet, you started focusing on dance as a career straight out of school, but I just wondering, that was it your plan B at any point? Did you consider any other career option?
I mean, so dance was always something that was a hobby. I was going to school. I was very serious about school. I wanted to be a nurse. I even worked in a hospital.
Wow.
And yeah, I honestly, I wouldn't mind going back to school and doing this as well. But I just, my passion for dance just grew, and I used to have a dance partner. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Nena.
Yeah.
And we started dancing, and then she got married, and I was like, oh, I still like dancing. And she moved. So she moved to a different country. So I was like, oh, I'm by myself now. What do I do? And I kind of just decided, I don't know when, but I decided that I was like, hey, what if I just go, you know, full fledged and just do try this dance thing out and like quit school. And knock on wood, it's been good so far. Yeah. But
because one of the first videos I watched was with you dancing with Nena. So do you still stay in touch with her? Do you guys still hang out, and do you plan to do stuff together in the future as well?
Yeah, definitely. I know when she's usually here, I'm not. That's just been our, because her parents still live in the same town. But yeah, in the future, I would love to, and if time permits. It's just been very difficult on my end too, just in general, to collaborate with anybody. It's just been very, very difficult. Yeah, unless they're like living right there, and you know, they're always around me. But.
And how did your parents and your family react to this decision to just focus on dance? Because, you know, a lot of Desi parents, and I guess parents around the world, always want to secure a degree as a safety net. So did they have the same thoughts?
I feel like my parents are super supportive. They've never really pressured me into like, oh, you need to become this, you need to become this. I mean, education is definitely something very big in my family. Like my dad, my parents are both educated. My brothers are both educated. But I think that just the relationship I share with them, like, you know, I'm telling them like, this is what's going on. And like, just like showing them like, you know, I can do this. And I've, you know, my mom used to tell everybody, like when I was younger, she was like, oh, like my daughter, I don't worry about her because she tells me she's going to do something and she does it. So I think she just kind of had that mindset already. So she didn't really question me too much. I think my dad in the beginning was a little bit skeptical, like, okay, you know, cause he's like, that's a risk. You're taking a risk. And, my dad's like, okay, you know, when you go to school, like you get an education, it's not really much of a risk. Like, you know, you're guaranteed a job, you know, majority of the time, like, but he's like, with this, he's like, you know, what if it doesn't work? But at the end of the day, like they support me, and, they've never told me like, no, don't do this. So I'm very lucky in that sense. So I think that's another reason why I was able to achieve what I have achieved today.
You know, one of the very first guests that we interviewed on this show is Isha Malkani from Lasya Dance. I don't know if you know her, but she's a choreographer based in London. I just want to give a shout out to Isha because I know that she follows you and she loves your work too. But, you know, speaking of Desi parents, we asked Isha this question about following her passion for dance on the side while also being a full-time chartered accountant. And she told us that from the time she was a child, her parents told her that she had to do her lessons, she had to get her degree, she had to get a stable job, and only then do whatever she pleased to do on the side. And she also said that this is the same advice that she would give to someone who wanted to, so, you know, follow her footsteps. But you had quite the opposite journey, where you dedicated years into your art and you made it work as a full-time career. So what advice would you give to a kid who came up to you and said that he or she wanted to pursue dance full-time?
You know, you mentioned that. That's so funny. I was just talking about this other day. You know, I always get these messages of young girls like, oh, like I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be an Instagrammer. I want to, like, you know, make dance my career. And I always tell everybody, I'm like, go to school. I mean, the reason why I say that is because, I mean, I was doing school, and this was, you know, you everything is like luck. Like, you get lucky, you know. I'm lucky to be here. I'm lucky to have, you know, these followers, but it's none of this is guaranteed. And there's people out there that, you know, especially when I come out to LA, like every other person I meet is like, oh, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor, and they've been doing this for years, and you know, they never give up, but it's not guaranteed that they're successful. And I feel like, yeah, it's very important to have something to fall back on. And which is why, like, I still say, like, I might go back to school, just because, I mean, I have a passion in nursing as well. Like, and just to have something to fall back on. And I also, like, you know, in the future when I have kids, like, I want to show them that, you know, you have to work hard, and nothing comes easy. And I feel like, you know, social media is very, like, you get this perception of these people, like, oh, they're doing it. Like, they're just posting pictures, they're just making mm-hmm. videos. And it's way more than that. Like, it's not easy. Like, you're sacrificing like so much. Like, you're sacrificing, like, you know, your family, your friends, like, you kind of have to, like, really give in 100%. There's no vacation and you are your own boss. So, it's just, I definitely would tell people to go to school.
Yeah, because even when we started this podcast, we thought that, well, so many people do it, so why can't we? And we had this idea that, you know, when you look in social media, everything seems to be so easy. And it's only when we started that we realized how difficult it actually is. And we're actually two people. So for you to start everything by yourself and build everything on your own, I mean, we always like to post the good things. We always like to post the products on social media.
We always tell everyone about the amazing guests we have. We talk about anything good that happens to us, but there are so many disappointments along the way where sometimes we just get stood up, you know, waiting for a guest and they don't show up.
In everything, you know, like in any kind of career, any kind of work you do, like there are disappointments, but social media definitely glorifies the side of, you know, like entertainment that, I feel like people are so, like, odd about it. But when you actually get into it, it's very, very hard.
Yeah. And you mentioned luck earlier. You know, can you remember your very first lucky break?
Aside from everything I've done with Nana, I mean, everything me and Nana done, we were both in school and we were doing that for fun. I think, like, my highlight in, I mean, I have two different highlighting moments, one with her and then one alum with her. We did Bremnathan. We did it. It was like a 15-second, barely 15-second dance clip.
Is it around the time when Sonam Kapoor was asking people to send in Bremnathan Thanpai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just posted it on our fan page and she reposted it. Not only did she repost it, she, you know, followed both of us, followed our pages, and she wrote such a nice message. And even till today, if I ever, like, say hi to her, like, she'll be like, hi.
Wow.
But I mean, like, that was definitely something very, very memorable for me. And I remember writing a quote, like, about just, like, dance and, like, kind of, like, to inspire people, like, don't think, feel. And I really believe in that. I feel like if you follow that quote, like, good things happen in life. But that was definitely a moment there. And then, me alone, which was very challenging for me, because, you know, when someone's there, like, everything is a little bit easier. Yep. There's two minds flowing, things go faster. And then I was like, now I'm on my own. I had my team, but they don't know anything about dance. But when I did Wonderland, the whole idea behind it, like, you know, two of me, I didn't know if it was going to go viral like that, but that was definitely very, very cool for me because I got a lot of opportunities out of that.
Talent plays such a big role in becoming successful as an artist. And honestly, you're one of the most talented dancers I've ever seen.
Oh, you're so sweet. But there's so much talent out there, trust me.
The thing is that talent alone is not enough to make it big. And you mentioned luck earlier, but are there any other factors that you would owe your success to?
I think, you know, consistency as anything you do with social media, I owe my luck to my team, I guess. They really push me. They make me, you know, like, they're always on me. Like, we have to be consistent. We have to post. And I used to just be like, oh, okay. Like, no. Cause I was like, you know, I used to post one video a year. I was like, we're good. You know, but, I mean, definitely I grew very fast. And then, like, and I feel like that is from, like, just, you know, constantly being consistent. And the first, like, 7-8 months, I had a video, and it wasn't even a dance video. Like, I just had something, like, some kind of content on my YouTube every single Friday, which is something I want to get back to. But I think, yeah, just, I think I owe that. And I mean, there's a lot of things that play a factor into it, but the list can go on and on and on. We can be here all day.
Well, Manpreet, your videos are very, very professional, and even just, you know, the editing as well. And we noticed that your videos are produced by Playground, if I'm not mistaken. So do they help you out with the editing and the whole videography as well? Or have they been with you this whole time?
Yeah, so they're actually really good friends. We had worked together previously before that, like years ago. And then, that's what they do. They do a lot of commercials. So they're not so much into like this dance and like, but they're very heavily into music. Like Pal, one of the main guys, he loves music. And so he always tells me, he's like, I'm going to turn you into Madhubala. And then this idea just formed and he's like, I'm going to do all your videos. And, so they like make my videos, they edit my videos. We all work together. But they do a lot, and they also manage me. So
okay, so I also noticed, Manpreet, there were the comedy skits as well. And was a comedy something you planned to do along with your dancing, or was it all just for a laugh?
I think that they think I'm funny. No, I think those are mostly, you know, him just kind of pushing content. But I mean, I had so much fun doing that. I'm very goofy. I'm not a very serious person. Uh-huh. So I think like I was just being myself, and then they were just like kind of telling me like, okay, like, you know, just kind of throwing content at me, and just kind of like majority of those videos were like not very scripted. So it was just like me being myself. So I think it was just fun. It's just fun.
I'm definitely going to go back and watch all these now, Madhree.
It's embarrassing. I'm like, take them down. Big enough.
You know, we were talking about editing earlier, and I remember those videos with your twin, you know, where for anyone who doesn't have context, that's when two Manpreets in different clothes appear in the same frame and they start dancing to the same song with pretty much the same steps as well. Was that really hard to produce?
No. The crazy thing is when we were making that video, like I had the moves, like I knew I wanted to do like Bhangra, and this was Bollywood. And we were in this garage, and then I think we collectively just were like, what if we just like keep the camera here, and I just come from this side and I do this dance, and I come in from that side. In the beginning, we're kind of like, what is this? But when we like edited the video, I remember sitting there, and my best friend was sitting next to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, this is crazy. I was like, this is going to do so good. And just because I thought it was going to do good, just because the people that knew me were just going to be like, oh, there's two of her. But people really think that I have a twin. So
that's funny. So, but when you first decided to start this, you know, YouTube dance choreography career, what kind of materialistic support did you have in terms of camera, props, a space to dance in, and, you know, general production?
I mean, we had access to cameras, the videographer. A lot of our struggles and like our bumps come along the way are usually like locations. It's very hard to find a location. And I'm from the Bay, and, you know, there's not a lot going on over there, like scenic wise. But I feel like over the months and the years, like we've kind of figured it out. But that was definitely like a struggle for us. But
and what's the process of producing a dance video from start to finish right now at the moment? Like how does it work with your team and with your ideas?
So usually, I will find a song, and then I do the choreo. I kind of do choreo, just kind of based off of who I'm dancing with, like technicality wise. And then from there, I like, you know, tell them like, hey, we have this song. And then, he'll usually tell me like, send me a video. So he kind of gets an idea of how we want to shoot it. And then we usually find a location, and believe it or not, there are videos like we don't post because we just don't like them. So it's a process.
we also noticed that there's some videos that you've released on YouTube which are dancing tutorials. So are you still working on those as well, or are you focusing just more on your choreography?
We are doing tutorials. We're actually working, one of my close friends, he started an app called Bali Learn. And we haven't actually posted any tutorials yet on there. We just want to launch. From our end, we want to launch it properly, but all of our tutorials will be going on to Bali Learn on the app. And it's like a subscription. It's like $1 a month or something. And there's a couple of other dancers who are also like on board with it that are also going to be posting their tutorials on there. So that's our side project.
Okay.
And I can't help but mention that some of your dance moves is just so intricate, in the sense that there's a tumka or a twirl for almost every single beat. And I personally couldn't pull that off without a lot of practice. So it's always, you know, a wonder to me when you do it with so much ease, even when you're performing on stage live. So how long do you practice on average before a shoot or before a performance?
We practice quite a bit if it's a stage performance, and that's mostly for endurance, because when you do these videos, you're like cutting here, you're taking a break, but stage performances, you don't get that. It's like your one chance to just do it all. So I think definitely for like stage performances, just to build endurance, we do practice quite a bit. But, for like videos and stuff, I don't think we practice as much as we should be. I feel like it just varies on what we're doing. But
once you get the hang of it, is it like something you could do even in your sleep, or are you constantly paying attention to the step and the next step and, paying attention to what you're doing while you're doing it?
Yeah. So I think like when you actually come down to like making choreo, like what happens to me is it's insane. Like I will only listen to that song for like, usually 2 weeks before I'm going to make choreo to it, because I love listening to like the beats, and that's something I'm very attracted to, like, background beats and then the source. So I would find different ways to like move my body to it, and that usually is like a 2 week process. And then even in that, like I'm sleeping and thinking of like how to dance. Like it's crazy, like my head starts hurting.
Do you sleep dance, Manpreet, by any chance?
I don't know. I have to ask like my friends. I don't know. I feel like I do sometimes. Yeah. But I know, like, when I'm listening to a song for a very long time, like, that song's stuck in my head when I'm sleeping. And that's usually when I get sick, where I'm, like, I feel sick and I feel like I'm a fever. but I don't know. Maybe I do. I'm not sure. Yeah. I should record myself.
Yeah. dancers often have a good ear for music, and they tend to be very passionate about music, like as you've just mentioned. So in fact, a lot of South Indian classical dance trainers professionally learn classic Carnatic music so they can sing live to the students' performances. So has that ever been something that interested you? Because you're so involved in the dance side of it, have you ever been interested in the music side, maybe singing or the instruments that are involved?
I'm definitely not a singer, but I'm not sure. Like I don't know how to play any instruments. I learned like the dhol one time, but I love listening. Like I love watching, because I grew up, my brother, he raps, and I kind of grew up to him, like, doing his thing. And I was so interested. I remember even now, like some of my friends, I just get so interested in like what they're doing and how they're making beats and how they're singing and how they, put everything together. But I don't know if I would, I kind of just like, just dance is like, that's it for me.
Wow. You make it sound so easy, Manpreet. And what's been your favorite music to dance to from the beginning of all of this?
Aside from Bhangra, definitely folk, any kind of like folk, as in anything Madhuri does.
Of course.
My gosh. I'm like in love with her. Just anything, like usually her music, she has a very different, like, very folky feeling to her songs, any kind of, usually when she has like an item. And I think I'm very attracted to that, and I love like facial expressions, I love like the tumka, like those kind of things. And I'm trying to venture out, and I started to like hip-hop, but I still can't get into any of these new songs in Bollywood. Like I don't like any of them. They're very westernized, and I just don't like them. I don't know, they're different.
Today you have your own fashion and jewelry line as well, and so you've been incorporating fashion and jewelry into your dance choreography for a long time, basically. And even before you started your side business, this has been going on. So was this always a passion of yours from childhood? Did you always plan to start this business?
No, I actually am the most like unfashionable person ever. I walk around in sweats and t-shirts, and I think it was just like with dance, like just to to like get, you know, capture like the moment, capture like this image and persona of the song, like you kind of have to dress up and play the part. So I think like just with that, like I started building this like image of like, you know, me always wearing like these lehengas and like this jewelry. And then I met Bianu, which is who I work with and who my line is under. And I met her, and then she kind of like really motivated me to like start this line. And but it was never something that I was like, oh, I want to like, you know, have this clothing line or this jewelry line. But it definitely just came along with dancing.
So the reason I asked is because we interviewed the singer Vidya Vox the other day, and she was also she was also telling us how, you know, she just wings her costumes for her music videos, and someday if Vidya starts a similar business to yours, you know, nobody would be surprised because she really does have an eye for fashion. So I was wondering if your passion for dance led to the idea of starting this business, or if you would always been interested in fashion and jewelry.
That's so funny. Vidya is like, I look at her fashion, I'm like, wow. Yeah.
And she says she just really takes something out of her closet every now and then. And she says she wings it, but it's so beautiful.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. That's awesome that she can do that. When I wing stuff, it's horrible. it usually comes out like really bad.
Yeah, actually, Manpreet, once I tried to do that, and Ankita was with me, and she's like, we were trying to do some, she was trying to do my makeup. I'm like, Ankita, I can do it myself. So I did it. And Ankita's like, girl, get the makeup removers. We have to do this all over again.
It was literally a wing that Meenal was attempting with her eyeliner. So she winged her wing. Yeah,
it is, right? It's really hard.
She tried to wing it and it was a disaster.
Oh my gosh. Trust me, I didn't know too much about makeup until last year when one of the ladies that she's a really good friend. She usually does all my shoots. And I was traveling so much. She's like, she calls me. She's like, girl, you need to come in. And she's like, I'm going to teach you how to put some makeup on your face. And I swear, I literally, since then, I just do my makeup the way she told me. I don't even know how to like, but I feel like these tutorials, like they make it so easy, but it's so hard.
Well, it's just like how you make dancing look so easy, Manpreet.
Exactly. With all of your twirls and your tumkas for every single beat, we can't really do that.
Sweet.
So Manpreet, you worked with PBN recently, and you know, when, so just to give you some context, Manpreet, I watched your very first video when I was in my third year. So there was a graduation party over here, and we had to choreograph a dance for Ghagra, the Madhuri Dixit dance, and that's how I discovered you and Nana, actually. And so along the same lines, I've been listening to PBN for a very long time. So when I heard that he was coming back into the music and you were going to collaborate with him, that was really exciting. So for those of our listeners who don't have context, Punjabi by Nature is a UK-based Indian music producer, singer, and songwriter. And he specializes in Bhangra and Asian fusion productions. So how did your partnership with him come about, considering that you're based in sunny California and not in a gloomy UK?
First of all, he is an amazing person. And I still keep a friendship with him. He's awesome. But he reached out to me. I'm very anti, you know, music videos. I don't want to be a music vixen. I don't want to model for music videos. So I was just kind of, definitely flattered that, because I'm a huge PBN fan. Like I, you know, Ashki, all these songs, like I knew he made those. And a lot of people don't even know that, but I was like very, very, very honored that this person reached out to me. And I mean, he kept on like, you know, saying like, hey, like, this is your song. And I guess when they wrote it, like they had me in mind, like, you know, me dancing to this, like Bhangra Bandi. And it took, I think it was like almost like a 4 to 5 or even 6 month process of me, you know, getting to like the answer. Yes. Will never regret saying yes. I honestly, that was an amazing experience. Like sharing, even just sharing a room with that person. he has a lot of talent.
And why did it take you so long to get to yes?
Just because I, just the fact that I didn't want to do a music video. I didn't ever want to do a music video. And I still today, I think I've only done two. One of them's not even out yet. It's going to come out soon, but yeah. I've just been so like, I just feel like out here in Cali, where I'm from, a lot of girls who do music videos, you know, they don't get a lot of respect. And I just like my whole thing in this, you know, coming into this industry is like, I want to be like a girl, but I want to be respected. Like I want people to know that, you know, I'm not just, it's not about like your looks. Like I was like, I really put a lot of work into like dance, and he understood that. He understood that. And, you know, he never, like, I told him, I was like, I don't want to model, like, it's going to be pure dance. And he was all for it. Never questioned me, never questioned anything. He's like, whatever you feel comfortable with. So it was an awesome first experience.
And what was the process like making that video from scratch? Did you spend a lot of time in the UK doing this?
I did not. So he came, he did the song, that was pure PBN, everything from the beginning to start. And then he sent me the song. And then I kind of told him like my ideas of, you know, where choreo should be and, you know, where you should come in. Just kind of, we were just kind of brainstorming. And then I don't know if he knows this, but I actually made choreo the day before.
Oh. Well, PBN, if you're listening, this is the real Manpreet talking right now.
We should tag him. We should tag him in this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's going to laugh. Like I had ideas. And then another thing is, when you're going to work with other dancers, I don't like to make choreo, knowing that I'm going to be working with other dancers, because I just don't know, you know, like how they're going to dance. And then I feel like I'm wasting time and like, this and that. But, yeah, like I had like a couple of moves, so I didn't completely wing it. But, the day before, like when I got to meet the girls and I got a better understanding, and I honestly feel like I did it better there than I would have, like, if I spent all this time trying to make choreo here. So
Manpreet, you just mentioned that you came up with the choreography the day before, and Vidya Vox said the same thing as well, which one of her famous music videos, she also said the same thing. They just shot it like one day and then they were leaving the next day. So I don't know what it's like in terms of creativity when it comes to dance and music, but we obviously know it's not something that you can force upon yourself. But do you feel that a lot of these ideas and a lot of these dances that you've done have just come more naturally rather than you trying to sit down and scratch your head about it?
Definitely. You know, it's like a test, right? Or like when you have an essay, you procrastinate. Like I always say this, like I always feel like I do better when I procrastinate, because you're under so much pressure, like you have to get it done. And, you know, and I feel like it's kind of like the same way with for me, at least with dance. Like if I'm like under pressure, like I have a deadline, I feel like I do better.
That will help you in nursing school, Manpreet.
I know. Oh my God, you probably have it so hard. I hear like my cousins and all these, you know, everyone in med school. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, I also use a procrastination as an excuse. I'm like, if I procrastinate, I'll do well when I have to study.
It works though, I'm telling you. Something clicks in your mind.
Yeah, you just validated it for me, Manpreet, so I'm cool.
Oh, God. No, God, don't quote me.
So Manpreet, apart from the music video that's about to come out, what's next for Manpreet Thor?
Well, I have not told a lot of people, but maybe I'll share it today. I have a studio. I just got a studio.
Wow.
I stopped teaching for almost 2 years, so this is something really big for me, and I'm very happy. And initially, I think my end goal will always be to have a bunch of studios and to just relax.
So exclusive. We have exclusive content for all of your fans.
Not just this, but Punjabi by Nature will also find out about when.
You'll appreciate me. No, I'm kidding.
You did the Punjabi by Nature music video, but do you ever dream of working in Bollywood with Madhuri perhaps at some point?
I have gone to Bollywood last year, and I didn't like it.
Oh.
But if Madhuri is there, oh my gosh, in a heartbeat, I would go.
But why didn't you like it when you went to Bollywood?
You know, the crazy thing is like social media, everything's very glorified and it's different, right? But when you actually, I wish I never went. That's all. I just wish I never went. Because now I can't watch a movie without, you know, knowing what's happening.
Well, speaking of Bollywood, Manpreet, I asked Isha from Lasya Dance the same question as well. Now, her response to this was very diplomatic, and she just giggled it off. I hope you don't do the same with me, but I want to ask you, what do you think of Salman Khan's dancing?
Honestly, I feel like he's like King Khan, just like Shah Rukh Khan, and anything he does, like, people will just bow down. So there you go.
Again, another diplomatic answer.
he's gotten better, but I feel like you know, his body,
yeah,
he just works out so much that he doesn't have like the flexibility, and I know that he doesn't care about dance, in my opinion. He doesn't care too much about it. Not a dancer.
I think when he was much younger and he could really, like, I mean, he still does it, but there was a time when he was younger and he would remove his shirt and start dancing. I think he was a lot more flexible at that time.
Yeah. I think when you actually care about dance, you put in the effort, no matter, you know, if you're flexible or not. And I feel like he wasn't about dance. Like, I feel like it was something, I don't know, like, again, I'm speaking off of, like, I don't know anything about this guy. Just what I see and what I notice about him. I just think that, you know, if he really cared, he could be a good dancer.
Well, Manpreet, I'm sorry I made you answer this question. I feel like I'm making you really uncomfortable now. So.
With all the shirtless dancing and everything. Yeah. And apart from Madhuri, who is your favorite dancer of all time?
Okay. Well, Nana. Uh-huh. Is one. That's a good question, because I feel like I don't see anybody else.
Okay,
that's nice. That's
I have a couple of friends here who I think are. I don't know if you guys heard of Shivani and Chaya.
Oh, those are two young girls who dance with you in your music video.
No. Those are my students. But these are also two girls that are also in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, you guys gotta check them out. You need to check them out.
Oh, we will, sure.
We will definitely.
So, Manpreet, you don't have to lose your voice anymore. We've actually reached the end of the interview. And it has been amazing chatting with you today. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. That was fun.
And Manpreet, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they go about that?
Email me, info@dancewithmanpreet.com.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Manpreet. This has been a great, great chat.
Thank you, you guys.
And thank you, as always, dear listeners, for tuning in this week as well. We're very grateful for the reviews you've been leaving on other podcast apps and iTunes, and we hope that you would go back and leave another review for us this time as well.
And we always thank our listeners, but we also want to thank our guests for giving us their time, which is very precious. So thank you for everyone who joins us every week on our podcast. So if you have any questions or if you have any guests that you think we should interview, you can drop us mail to mail@desioutsiders.com. Don't forget to check out Manpreet on social media, and you can also find us at Desi Outsiders. So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.